Hey guys, before we get started on the show, Will and I just wanted to put out a call to you, the listeners, our community, to let you know that we are accepting sponsors and we would love it if you would maybe like to advertise your stuff on our show.
Yeah, absolutely. For anybody that runs a business, somebody that has a product that they want to get out there to people, please head over to gttupod.com. You're going to see a tab for advertising. Kristen's filled in all the information that you could possibly need. If you want to reach a spooky audience, hit up gttupod.com or email gttupod@gmail.com.
That's right.
And enjoy the show. Listen, Jigsaw, I don't think is the good guy, to be clear.
Hello, welcome to Guide to the Unknown. I'm Kristen.
And I'm her little brother, William.
And this week we are bringing you the Guide to Saw. If you're listening to this in real time, then the movie Spiral from the Book of Saw is now available starting this weekend. Mm-hmm. And Will and I will be seeing it. And we thought that we would give everybody out there an exhaustive A to Z.
Nah, A to C. Screw it. We're only going to get partway through the alphabet and then we're going to stop.
But I think I just said it funny, like the way that you say Renaissance instead of Renaissance. I think I just said Z like C.
Okay. An A to C guy.
A to C. But yes, we are going to be going through all 8 of the Saw movies, doing rapid fire because it's 8 movies.
It's tricky.
Like quick synopsis of basically what the plot is so that even if you haven't seen any of Saw, you could go into Spiral and I assume without having seen it, have, you know, enough of a background in what happens in the Saw movies that you get it.
Yeah. Also because Kristen and I just really enjoy the Saw movies.
Yes.
And quite frankly, this is a wonderful excuse to talk about each and every one of them.
Yeah. We both were rewatching. I think we mentioned it a couple weeks ago on the show. We were both rewatching the Saw movies leading up to Spiral. And so then when we were doing our planning session on Patreon, where we plan out everything that we're going to be doing for the next month, I said to Will, we're doing this anyway. Maybe we should do a show on Saw.
And it's become kind of a thing. Not only are we doing this on Guide to the Unknown, but over on patreon.com/gttupod, you're also going to be getting a bonus episode only for people that back this show at the Netherworld Warrior level that starts at $4 or more per month. We're going to be doing another Saw-centric episode over there talking about some of the spin-off stuff.
Yeah.
There are Saw video games. Mm-hmm. Did you know that?
Yeah, the first one takes place between the first and second movie and is partially written by some of the same people who wrote Saw.
I know. They really incorporated some of the film people into the games. Mm-hmm. And not only that, but we're going to be taking a look at some times that Saw has been parodied.
Yes.
Spoiler alert, both Shaq and Dr. Phil were in a Saw sketch scene in one of the scary movies. I think Shaq had to make a free throw in order to set himself free.
Oh my god.
It's gonna be great. So track that down. Patreon.com/gttupod. It's a whole Saw weekend. Chris and I, we're seeing Saw. Or seeing Spiral.
Yep.
On Sunday.
From the Book of Saw.
From the Book of Saw, subtitled, of course. Mm-hmm. And I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah.
But I did just watch 8 Saw movies.
Yeah.
And I'm a little concerned.
Uh-huh. I gotta tell you, while I would say I like Saw and that I'm a fan of Saw, I can't tell you, I don't know if I could say in good conscience that I enjoyed my homework for this episode.
I'm with you 100%. Describing myself as a Saw fan started to not fall apart the more that I watched, but I was like, boy, there's a lot in here.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyway, we'll be spoiling Saw 1 through 8.
Yes.
We have not seen Spiral, so we can't possibly spoil it.
We couldn't possibly.
I couldn't possibly. So I'm going to kick us off with Saw 1, which came out in 2004, and it's really considered as being like the first of the torture porn so-called subgenre of horror films.
Yeah.
And the way that I'm going to break down the movies that I'm covering, it's Saw, obviously, as everybody knows, is all about the gore, all about the traps. But to me, there's also another ingredient to all of them, which is police procedural.
Totally.
Yeah. So there was like drama and traps.
Yeah.
And that's largely how I'm going to break it out.
Mm-hmm.
And so Saw 1, the one that kicked everything off, we are primarily focused on the people in the trap.
Yes.
And for my money, I think it's the best trap in the game.
Yeah, for
sure. In the entire franchise.
It for sure is.
Dr. Lawrence Gordon, played by Cary Elwes, and Adam, played by screenwriter Lee Wan-El, are chained by the foot in a disgusting, dirty bathroom. They each have a saw at their disposal. They mm-hmm. try to cut through the chains, and they realize that's not what we're meant to do.
We're supposed to cut through our feet.
We're supposed to cut through our feet. And so we're introduced to the concept of the Jigsaw murders. Mm-hmm. They're little morality stories. Dr. Lawrence Gordon, you've got a cold bedside demeanor. You neglect your family. You have lost the sort of passion and heart for life. You don't take care of the people around you.
Right.
And so I'm not convinced you have what it takes to survive in this world. Darwinism. Are you willing to sustain horrific injury, cut off your own foot to survive? Or are you going to let yourself languish and die in this bathroom?
Right. Now, William, I have a question for you right off the top. This is something I found myself thinking over and over again. Now, I guess some people would argue that, you know, like Jigsaw fanatics in the movie or whatever, that like this is fair and just. Mm. A little overkill on Jigsaw's part, right?
What do you mean?
For most of these people, most of them, I would say, they don't deserve this. So Dr. Gordon is like kind of a jerk who neglects his family. So you're going to put him in a stinky bathroom and make him cut off his foot?
Yes. I think that the rest of the movies are really going to start to make an accidental case for Jigsaw just being a vengeful killer.
Yeah.
And pretending he's not.
Right.
Because Dr. Lawrence Gordon was his doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Lawrence Gordon wasn't very kind to him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what landed him in his trap. Right?
Yeah.
Like, this is a targeted victimization of Dr. Lawrence Gordon.
Yes.
Right? Some people, I guess, over the course of 8 movies, are just randoms, where it's like, you're a miserable person. You killed this kid you hit this kid with a car. I'm gonna put you in a trap. We're gonna see if you are willing to, because the other thing is, this process of mm-hmm. sacrificing part of your body to escape
right.
is meant to be some sort of a redemptive process. There are movies where Jigsaw will literally say people are instantly rehabilitated.
Yeah, I find this to be flawed.
It's very magical thinking. So he's supposedly fixing people's lives by making them realize, oh, since I've been in a life or death situation, life looks a lot more beautiful. I need to smell the roses. I need to take care of people more.
I think Jigsaw's kidding himself.
But most of the people that appear in these movies are people that Jigsaw personally has a beef with.
Well, and
end up dying.
And then there are random ones, like I think it's in 3, so you'll be covering it. But it's like somebody, what is it? Like somebody whose son was killed by a drunk driver and Jigsaw puts him in the trap because he hasn't dealt with his anger?
He's depressed.
What the hell?
Yeah.
Like this guy hasn't been through enough?
I know. I think there are literally moments in that movie where he's like, you know, you need to get out of your depression. And I'm like,
this certainly isn't going to help.
Jigsaw doesn't understand how depression works.
No, he doesn't. No, it's so crazy. So I'm sorry. Continue one. But I just the fact that it's like Dr. Gordon has a bedside manner that is not good.
Yeah.
And so I have imprisoned him.
Right.
And made him chop off his foot.
I mean, listen, Jigsaw is meant to be, I think, a judging character. I don't think that he is without fault, though he pretends he is.
Mm-hmm.
But like Adam is in
it's
the
ridiculous.
Trap because Adam is not a voyeur.
Isn't he a private investigator?
Yeah, he's like sort of like I don't think he's a private investigator, but like he's a for hire guy to sneak around stalking people and take pictures of them.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that he's just being like, you live a parasitic existence.
Yeah, right.
And so it is very judgy.
Yes.
But I also would ask you, Kristen, who does deserve to be put in situations like this?
Straight up murderers and stuff.
We'll get some of that.
I know we'll get some of it, but we also have a lot of like, you don't appreciate your relationship with your friends.
It's
true. Like, okay.
Right. So the other complicating factor here is there's a dead body in the middle of the room,
mm-hmm.
Holding a gun, surrounded by blood. This person, obviously, it looks like they killed themselves with a gun.
Right.
And so they're sharing this bathroom with a dead body. There are all these like escape room-esque puzzles of turn the lights off and you're going to see glow-in-the-dark ink that leads you to a puzzle. Adam digs through a disgusting toilet. And when asked if he finds anything in the bowl, all he says is, no solids.
Ew.
Which is not a bad joke in a vacuum.
It's not a bad
joke. It's disgusting in the movie.
Yes.
They're being watched and they realize, oh my God, we're the victims of the Jigsaw killer. We're introduced to the fact that Jigsaw does this with a number of other people.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, hey. Guy, Paul, you cut yourself. to feel? Are you willing to cut yourself to survive? He's put in a big room full of
help.
He needs, yeah, listen, Jigsaw, I don't think is the good guy, to be clear. If you're under the impression that these are meant to be stories.
It's just so ridiculous is all. I would think that it's presented like, this is bad what he's doing, but you see why he's doing it.
Right.
I think there's a little bit of that. No, I don't.
I know.
I don't see why he's doing it.
I know. This is one of the reasons that I'm really excited about Spiral. Mm-hmm. And some of the reviews started to come out today.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not necessarily the biggest believer in film reviews, mm-hmm. but I've seen some very negative comments about Spiral. But I've always thought that Saw has wonderful bones.
Mm-hmm,
it's a very fun concept, mm-hmm. and it's something that I think could really create a wonderfully compelling story. I think that the way that everything is arranged in the movies that we've got so far is kind of unfocused
mm-hmm.
and messy. To me, Jigsaw, like Freddy Krueger eventually became, Freddy Krueger started to become like an inversion of your dreams. Literally, like you are afraid of bugs.
Uh-huh.
So he's going to put you in a nightmare where you're surrounded by bugs.
Yeah.
Right? So it's sort of the Wishmaster sort of like corrupting, like careful what you wish for uh-huh. sort of a thing. I almost feel like there's something to that with Jigsaw. You cut yourself to feel, Paul. So I'm going to put you in a scenario where you have to cut yourself to escape and survive.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully realize that with enough cuts, you're going to wish you never had to begin with.
Yeah.
There's something in there. It's not appropriately doled out or set up. But I think it's a fun idea.
It's not always like that. It doesn't always perfectly connect to what their thing is.
So not
like with that person cutting themselves and then making them cut themselves a lot, I see the parallel there. But like, I don't know, like a drug addict going in a bear trap.
Yeah, exactly. A drug addict goes in a bear trap. Adam has to cut off his foot because he takes sneaky pictures of people.
So he's sneaking around on foot?
Maybe. And he's kind of a scumbag.
But what about Dr. Gordon?
Adam's goal in the game is to not get killed by Dr. Gordon.
Mm-hmm.
Because the other thing that's going on is Jigsaw says, the other way that you can escape without cutting your foot off is if you kill Adam, I will let you go.
Right.
And the reason you'd want to do that is because somebody's got your family hostage. Mm-hmm. And if you don't kill Adam, your family's going to die as well. So Gordon's got like a million different reasons he could escape and reasons why he should want to cut off his mm-hmm. foot or kill Adam or do both. It's a lot.
Right.
And Adam's goal is somebody put a key on his chest. And when he woke up in the dirty bathroom, he didn't know the key was there and it fell down the tub drain.
Right. So it ruined the whole thing.
He's doomed no matter what, it seems. Adam can't escape except for the hacksaw.
Mm-hmm.
But so that's the trap. Two guys in a room, and I think they've got 6 hours
mm-hmm.
to figure out how to get out of here, which I think is very fun to watch
people in
an environment talk to each other, dissect their relationship together, their past.
Mm-hmm.
It's very fun to have so much time for that trap. The procedural stuff is that Danny Glover is a cop who's tracking down Jigsaw and becoming increasingly obsessed with trying to catch him. Now, here's where Saw movies to me are structured like a Seinfeld episode.
Mm-hmm.
In an episode of Seinfeld, usually Kramer, George, Elaine, and Jerry all have their own separate plots.
Yes.
And then they all come together at the end.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And I feel like in Saw, it's always a matter of here's your A, B, sometimes C, D, and E plots. They all might feel disconnected, but mm-hmm. by the end, you're going to realize they're very connected.
Yeah.
It turns out that Danny Glover is watching Dr. Gordon's family, who is being held at gunpoint by a guy that we think is Jigsaw the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
They end up having a standoff and rushing to the scene of the dirty bathroom to meet with Dr. Gordon and Adam because their time is up.
Mm-hmm.
And when they come into the room, everybody thinks that this guy who's been watching the family is Jigsaw. They manage to get the better of him, kill him. Dr. Gordon, out of desperation for his family's safety, does cut his foot off to escape the room. Danny Glover ends up getting killed. So much for his sick obsession with trying to get the answers. He ends up dying down there. Well, we think.
Yeah.
Patreon.com/GTTUpod for more of the Danny Glover story. Zep is the guy who had the family at gunpoint. He dies.
Mm-hmm.
And then it turns out Jigsaw was none of them. Jigsaw is the supposedly dead body on the floor in the middle of the room.
Completely awesome.
So much fun. Wonderfully, iconic.
Oh, yeah.
And scary.
What an icon.
Adam is the only person to witness as the dead body gets up off the ground, shakes it off, does a little stretch, a little yoga-y stretch, because he's been sitting there for six hours.
Stiff.
Gets up and says, the key to your lock was in the bathtub, but good luck now.
Yeah.
Walks out to the door, says, game over, and slams it shut while Adam screams, trapped in the bathroom and doomed to die of starvation. Mm-hmm. Who knows? And the game is over.
Now that's a movie.
The song Hello Zep plays, which is the classic like, dun-dun-dun, which sounds like the ticking of clocks and machinations. And it's such a great ending.
Yeah.
I really enjoy Saw 1. Mm-hmm. A lot of people make fun of it because Cary Elwes playing Dr. Gordon, his accent, his American accent is falling apart sometimes.
What can you do? It's a great story, though.
It's a very fun story, and it kicks off the universe. Mm-hmm. I enjoy it. I endorse Saw 1 for all its flaws and foibles.
Oh, I totally endorse Saw 1. I saw it in theaters, and I remember being like really tense and like, what the hell? And then being so shocked and so into Jigsaw getting up from the floor.
Yep.
It's a very good movie.
It's so much fun.
Okay, so then we move into Saw 2, which is okay. The basic plot of Saw 2 is that, so Jigsaw got away. Like, nobody knows who this dude is. He has captured a bunch of people and put them into a house that has poisonous gas pumping through it. So everything's larger scale. They're not just in one room. They're in a house. It's not two people. It's like 10 or something like that. And he tells them through a tape, which is the same thing he does in Saw 1. They press play on it. Wait, right? That's in Saw 1, right?
Yeah, they find the tape, like, dead body's holding the tape recorder, but they have to find the cassette in their pockets. Mm-hmm. Everything's very escape room, which I think is also
fun. Totally escape room.
You're sort of invited in these movies to like watch them figure out puzzles.
Yeah.
Which is very entertaining.
Definitely. So yeah, they find out by tape that there are syringes hidden around the house, but they have to go through these gnarly traps to gain access to them. And the syringes will give them like immunity against the poisonous gas that's pumping through the house. So meanwhile, Donnie Wahlberg has joined us in the Saw universe.
He sure has.
And they are able to track Jigsaw to his like factory home thing, like right in the beginning, which I think is awesome.
Yep.
I love that they get him right away. And then Jigsaw is like, huh, you've caught me. But guess what? I have this going on right now. And there are monitors where Donnie Wahlberg and all the cops can see the events that I just described going on. They can see that there's this house full of people and that Jigsaw has another twisted game going on right now. Not only that, but Donnie Wahlberg's son is in the house with all of them. And what those people all have in common is that they are all criminals who were put away through Donnie Wahlberg doing not good cop stuff.
Yeah, faking evidence.
That's right. So when they figure out what they have in common and why they're here, how do you think they're going to treat that boy when they realize that he's the son of the guy who faked evidence that got them put away?
They won't treat him nice.
Not nice is the answer. So Donnie Wahlberg is like, no, or whatever.
There's a big moment in the movie where Jigsaw goes, yeah, there will be blood. But the original draft of that was, they won't be nice.
Oh, no, they won't be nice. Because it's, oh, yes, there will be blood.
Right.
So, you know, Jigsaw says to Donnie Wahlberg, look, as long as you sit here and talk to me this whole time and don't get in the way of anything, then you will see your son back. And so this is like a test for Donnie Wahlberg. Like, can you stay put, not like mess around with stuff? I'm promising
like
you.
Like fly off the handle.
Yeah,
like part of his morality play is also that he's just a bad, ill-tempered guy.
Yeah, he's like beating up people and stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're like talking back and forth. So we cut between him and Jigsaw and the people in the house doing like disgusting traps. So like one of them is that there's this pit full of syringes in this room. And one of the dudes throws somebody else, who I'll get to in a second, into the pit and is like, you find the syringe or whatever, because he's just like a jerk. I forgot to mention that one of the 10 people in this house is a woman named Amanda, who we met in the first movie.
Mm-hmm.
She is the one who had this like bear trap thing on her face, and she actually was able to get out of her trap.
And so she was supposedly the example of like, she managed to get out of it. And so she feels lucky.
Yes.
She feels more whole.
Mm-hmm.
And Jigsaw's methodology of improving somebody's life by getting through the traps is exemplified by her.
Right.
But now she's back in a trap in Saw 2.
Right. So she's like on the news in Saw 1, like, he saved me.
Right.
And then she wakes up in the house of Saw 2. She's like, why am I here? Why am I here? And like freaking out. So there are like all these gross traps. Like there's a syringe in a glass box where somebody has to put their hand up into the box and it's okay on the way up, but to bring her hands back out, there are like all these knives that kind of like cave in. So they slice her all up and everything. Like, you know, gross Saw traps. I would say this really kicks off the torture porn of Saw. Like there's some stuff in the first movie, but it's pretty fast.
It's pretty fast.
This one is definitely like lingering on all the grossness.
They savor it more. I'll say this. I think Saw 2 might be the best Saw movie.
I don't think so.
I think that it is interesting to see all of these people walking through a large environment, trying to like talk to each other, make sense of their circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Donnie Wahlberg's character is a pretty interesting person. I think that...
I like his character. I think he's good.
Spending time with Tobin Bell's Jigsaw is really interesting. It's fun. I'm glad...
That all rules, I will say.
It's like exciting that they gave that character so much screen time to talk about his methodology and to hear the way that he communicates in doublespeak.
Yeah, totally.
Like, sit here and be comfortable and you'll find your son in a safe place.
Mm-hmm.
Like, has ramifications later on that nobody knows ahead of time.
Yep.
I like all of that stuff. I feel like it is the perfect example of a sequel taking the original and dialing it up. And for my money, I don't think it goes too far.
No, I just don't really love gore stuff, which is funny to say watching a million Saw movies. And so it's heavier on all that stuff, so I don't like it more than Saw 1, but I agree with everything you're saying besides that. I do think it makes sense.
Yeah.
It's like linear. It makes sense with the story.
It even like structurally, like it opens with somebody in a room in the Venus flytrap, they call it. It's a thing that's going to clamp shut on his face with spikes in it and kill him.
Yeah.
And he's got 1 minute to get out. It's like truncated, but it's a cold open. So it instantly introduces you to, here's what Saw is like. Mm-hmm. Now let's tell an expanded story based on it. I just feel like it is structurally the most put together Saw movie that there is to me.
Yeah. Okay. So these people are going through the house doing all that stuff. Meanwhile, Donnie Wahlberg with Jigsaw is getting impatient. He's like, where is my son? This isn't good. So he starts kicking Jigsaw's ass. Then he makes Jigsaw take him to the location where all this stuff is going down. They go in. I might be telling this disjointed, but basically what happens is they go there. There's like no one there because the tape that you were seeing running when Donnie Wahlberg was talking to Jigsaw was from a few days ago. All this stuff that we thought was running concurrent to Jigsaw and Donnie Wahlberg talking isn't concurrent. It's old.
Yeah.
And when Jigsaw was like, do nothing, you'll see your son alive again. And there was like a timer, like if you do nothing for like, you know, however many hours. At the end of that, this like giant safe opens up and his son is in there with an oxygen tank. Like, so his son was right.
Place.
He was in a safe place. He was like right next to him the whole time. And so when Donnie Wahlberg goes in the house, he's like, what the hell? Amanda, who is the one that we said was like, he saved me and was in the place again, she's a bad guy. She's Jigsaw's accomplice, and she traps Donnie Wahlberg in that bathroom from the first movie and is like, game over, and slides the door like Jigsaw did. And you see Jigsaw in Donnie Wahlberg's car with his ass kicked, like, smile to himself.
The way that the Jigsaw smiling to himself footage plays out, the frame zooms out.
Mm-hmm.
Not just the like the footage, but like the frame grows smaller. It gets surrounded by increasing black space on the screen. To me, I always felt as these movies were originally coming out, and they came out, you know, every year there was a new Saw movie, I always felt like Saw 1 and Saw 2 were a fully contained duology.
Mm.
You can pretend that that's all the story there is.
Yeah,
Jigsaw
totally.
Dies from his injuries in that car, maybe. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
But to me, you could stop at Saw 2, and that's the story.
Yeah, totally.
Saw 2 is also the beginning, though, because we've obviously got six more movies to go.
Mm-hmm.
But Saw 2 is the beginning of intense continuity building.
Yes.
In theaters, when I saw Saw 2, and they open the door, and we see we're treated to the exact same introduction to the dirty bathroom from Saw 1. I got chills of like, we're back here.
Oh yeah, it's
this
super
place
cool.
is important. The place where Dr. Gordon and Adam had their like the main test from Saw 1. We're back in here. Adam's body is still there.
Yeah,
Zepp's body is dead on the floor, and now we're adding new bodies to the pile in here. It let me know that like, oh, this world is so big, but we're going to see recurring places and people and themes. it made it all feel like it's of a piece together.
Mm-hmm.
I, sure. I found it to be so exciting. I Saw 2 genuinely might be my favorite one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Saw 3?
Saw 3.
Okay.
We got to keep it moving and grooving. We've been talking for a half hour already.
Already?
Yes.
Oh my God. Okay. Saw 3 is the one I have the most notes on.
Okay.
I'll try to keep it really short because it's really messy.
Uh-huh.
So 1 year after Saw 2, Saw 3 came out. We start with Detective Matthews, who, yep. as Kristen said, was left in that bathroom. And to me, this is where it really becomes torture porn heavy. The first thing that happens in this movie is he picks up a toilet tank and bludgeons his own foot apart
uh-huh.
so that he can slip the shackle off of his disgusting, like, did mangled
you,
foot.
So did you watch all of these, or did you watch just what you needed to, what we were covering, Even's Odds?
I watched everything.
I didn't have time to watch everything, so I would watch what I needed to watch, read the summary for, like, 3 or whatever, then go to 3 and skip around and get lay of the land. I just didn't have time.
Kristen, 3 is so gross.
Yeah.
3 is disgusting.
Gross.
And they even do stuff in 3 that is, like, not trap-centric. They uh-huh. just find ways to make blood happen.
I also started remembering that how heavy in that these movies are, and so I was like, I don't really feel like watching that. I'll read, like, what the deal is. I'm gonna let Will explain it okay. to me. I'm like an audience proxy a little bit.
So Detective Matthews got out of his trap.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you really need to yeah. know from the beginning of that. Otherwise, here's what the movie is about. Jigsaw, I don't think we've even mentioned this about him. He's dying of cancer.
Yes, I was just thinking that before. We haven't mentioned it.
The entire time, that's why Dr. Gordon was his doctor. He's got terminal cancer. And now he's essentially on his deathbed. Mm-hmm. Amanda, his accomplice, his apprentice, has secured a ton of medical supplies for him in this disgusting warehouse because he's a fugitive. He's the Jigsaw killer. You can't just be bringing him to a hospital. So Amanda and Jigsaw are left to their own devices to get him all the medical stuff that he might require. And that involves kidnapping Dr. Lynn Denlin, because maybe she can come in. She used to work with Dr. Gordon, Kristen. Mm-hmm. And maybe she can help ease his suffering. She comes in and realizes that he needs a whole mess of work. A whole mess of work.
Yeah.
Including taking pressure off his brain.
Mm-hmm.
So there's an entire scene in this movie where it's not a trap. It's got nothing to do with anything. But she's going to do surgery on his skull. She cuts open his head. She pulls a flap of skin off of his skull.
Yeah.
She cuts into his skull with a bone saw and a drill because Amanda refuses to get her surgical tool. She's just like, we got everything we need here. And
this is perfect.
So we watch Jigsaw get his head cut open in this movie. The trap that's happening is a guy whose son was killed by a drunk driver. And like we said before, the thing he needs to learn is how not to let that get to him.
Yeah, he's like holding on to too much anger and resentment. I have seen this movie. I just didn't rewatch it entirely this time.
Yeah, to be fair, in flashbacks, he still has a daughter, and he's like, she takes a teddy bear out of her dead brother's room to feel close to him, and he like scolds her for it. He's like, you can't do that. And we are treated to scenes of him like pondering over a gun. He's not well.
Right.
But to your point, how's this going to help him?
And also help the daughter, P.S.
Yes. Well, Jigsaw says, you know, you've got to do this for your child. You've got to become a better person for your child.
Yeah, but what if he doesn't? And then the child has lost her brother and her dad.
I know. So in Saw 1, we saw people in a trap talking to each other, chained to the room. In Saw 2, we saw them get to walk through an entire house and walk into new traps in each room. In this, we're treated to a new format where one person mm-hmm. is going essentially through an obstacle course.
He's Ebenezering.
He's going to go into this room and, oh, there's a person in a trap. Maybe you can set them free. They can't set themselves free. It's up to you. Will you forgive the woman who witnessed the drunk driver hit your son and said nothing? And by and large, every time this guy encounters somebody that he holds a grudge against, he screams at them for a while, and then at the last second before he can possibly do anything to help them, realizes, oh, I should have forgiven you. I should have forgiven you. I should have helped you.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't in time, and they're dead now.
Right.
So the first woman is chained in a room, and she's freezing to death. He doesn't help her in time. Then he sees the judge who gave a lenient sentence to the drunk driver, who's sitting in a vat, and pigs rotten dead pigs.
Oh my God, I forgot about that.
Everyone's grossed out by this. This never grossed me. I just knew that it was movie magic, I guess. But so dead pigs are being churned up, and their guts are being dumped into a vat. It's going to drown the judge. Unless Jeff burns his child's favorite toys. He does that in time. He saves the judge. Then they go to the third room, where Jigsaw's favorite trap is the rack. The drunk driver himself is in a thing with his arms out to the sides. He's standing, and on his arms are things that will bend his arms until they snap, bend his legs till they snap, and finally bend his head around until he's killed, unless Jeff does something. Once again, Jeff can't decide if he wants to forgive this guy, and once it's too late, he decides he forgives him.
Yes.
The judge also dies in there.
Of course.
Anyway, here's the big twist. The stuff going on with Jigsaw, the medical stuff going on with Jigsaw, and Jeff, it's all happening in the same building. Mm-hmm. The final room in the obstacle course for Jeff is that he's going to walk into the room where Amanda and Jigsaw and his wife, the doctor, mm-hmm. are all working together. Amanda, what's going on in there is a horrible... what's it called when there is a love triangle?
Yeah.
Amanda loves Jigsaw. Jigsaw is depending on the doctor. Amanda and the doctor have major hang-ups together. And Jigsaw has even said early on, he shot a look over at Amanda and said, I want to play a game to set up everything that was going on. Well, it turns out the game was for Amanda.
Yep.
He was testing to see if she can hold back her anger.
This guy never stops.
Let the doctor do her work. Or will Amanda, be a full of rage killer, basically?
How exhausting Jigsaw is.
Well, listen.
You can never just hang out with this guy.
I got to tell you, Amanda had been setting up traps that people couldn't escape from.
I know.
Which does mean that she was setting up people to die.
Yes.
Jigsaw, theoretically, is putting people in environments where they could survive. And he says, I detest murderers.
She's about a notch above Amanda.
And Amanda became a murderer.
Right.
And she does it again. Mm-hmm. She refuses to let Lynn, the doctor, go. Ends up shooting her just as Jeff walks in the room and sees this killer shooting his wife.
Yeah.
So he shoots Amanda. And then Jigsaw, with everybody dead except for him and Jeff, goes, will you now forgive me? I'm the person that put you in this environment. Have you learned how to forgive yet? Mm-hmm. Or are you going to kill me? And Jeff picks up a big buzzsaw and slits Jigsaw's throat with it, only for Jigsaw's dead body to drop with a tape in its hand on which it says, I told you to figure out how to do this for your child. I wasn't talking about your son who died. I was talking about your daughter. I'm dead now, and I'm the only person who knows where your daughter is. Well, she's screwed and so are you. The door slams shut, and that's the end of Saw 3.
This guy sucks.
I will say Saw 3 is, it's the conclusion of the trilogy. Jigsaw is now dead. Everybody's wondering, how can this possibly continue beyond here? Because Saw 4 was already announced.
Right.
It's coming out a year later. Saw 3 sets up a ton of stuff. They show Jigsaw covering a tape with wax.
Yeah.
They show Amanda reading an envelope, but we never got to see what was in the envelope. There's a lot that they set up and don't pay off in Saw 3, and this is now going to be the new format of Saw movies. Mm-hmm. Every new Saw movie will show the characters interacting with something that we're not given the full background on, because a future sequel is going to be where you see that play out.
That's right.
Anyway, Jigsaw's dead, Chrissy.
Mm-hmm.
Saw 4.
Okay, enter Saw 4. So, I want to mention that this begins with an autopsy of Jigsaw that is like... some Tarantino stuff where they keep showing the angle is always his feet panning up. Did you notice that?
I wasn't focused on the feet.
I don't blame you.
I noticed the doodle.
So first of all, it's his feet and his doodle. So it is like you are standing at the bed of like the base of Jigsaw's bed, just looking right up Main Street.
You can see Tobin's bell.
It is crazy. I was like, oh my God, that's right. So we start off with the autopsy of Jigsaw, and the doctor finds a wax-covered little tape in Jigsaw's tummy.
Turns out that in Saw 3, he covered that tape with wax and then ate it.
Yeah, and they show a flashback of him opening his little mouth to swallow the tape.
It seemed pretty big.
Funny. Yeah. I mean, it's a mini cassette tape, but it's still a big thing to swallow. I think I would have trouble with that. So, they play the tape. It's time to play a game. So, basically, this is another Ebenezer thing where it's time to teach this guy whose name is Detective Riggs not to be such a hero and try to save people all the time. So it's all these like traps that Detective Riggs has to engineer his way through and resist his urge to save people.
Right.
Also, we find out that Eric Matthews, Donnie Wahlberg from the second movie and the third movie in the beginning, is still alive, but he has been trapped again. He and another detective named Detective Matthews are in this trap together.
Wait, Donnie Wahlberg is Detective
Matthews? No, sorry. Hoffman.
You mean Hoffman. Yeah, there's a new character, Detective Hoffman.
Dr.
Detective Hoffman.
I'm partially laughing because I see this guy as being kind of a doofus, so it's funny to be like, Dr. Hoffman.
I wouldn't trust
him. He's like, but, okay, so the trap that, you know, Detective Riggs is like, oh, my fellow cops, this is not good. I have to get them, is that Matthews is being hung from a noose and he's standing on an ice block and that's melting. So it's like pulling the chair out from under him. He's eventually going to strangle himself. Then Detective Hoffman is next to him sitting in a chair, like an electric chair, and the water from the ice melting is slowly filling up a little reservoir under the electric chair. And so he's going to get electrocuted.
Right.
If the water level rises enough. It's a good thing. Or not a good thing, but it's
not
a good trap.
Thing.
You know what
right.
I mean? It's like very clever. So Detective Riggs is like trying to get to that.
It's a good thing.
It's a good thing. That's a good try. I like that trap. I think it's good. So basically, unsurprisingly, things are engineered in such a way that if only he listened to Jigsaw's instructions carefully, counterintuitively, he would have been able to save people. He would have been able to save Donnie Wahlberg,
right.
but he didn't. He had to be a hero. Why would anybody ever trust what Jigsaw says?
Yeah,
you know what
this
I mean?
Is...
Like, I know that so many of these things are like, you should have listened to me. Why would I ever listen to you? I don't trust you. And also, in the beginning of the movie, he sees a fellow detective of his who was in a Jigsaw trap. It's a detective whose name was Carrie,
yeah.
who we didn't mention, but she was... kind of on the...
There's very intense continuity in yeah. all the cops in mm-hmm. at least the first four Saw movies appear and get knocked off. Like, almost one detective gets killed in each
yeah, per
entry.
Movie.
Yeah.
But so the trap that she was in, they realized there was literally no way she could have escaped. So they're like, this isn't a Jigsaw because he doesn't do things like that. But then also Detective Riggs could be like, well, I can't trust Jigsaw, so it's not like I can really truly listen to his instructions and
right.
just pull back from saving people and it'll be fine, because clearly this person isn't to be trusted. So I don't blame him at all. We're also introduced to Jigsaw's ex-wife, Jill Tuck.
Jill Tuck.
Jill Tuck says that John's life defies chronology and literal description, which I say, same.
Defies...
chronology and literal description.
Why does his life defy chronology? This movie starts to introduce like flashbacks because he's dead now, but does she know that we're seeing flashbacks?
I don't know. It was actually kind of in the background. It wasn't like looking at her when she's saying that. She's like talking to a detective and another detective is talking to somebody else. But because I had the captions on, I saw it and I was like, excuse me.
Yeah.
So I wanted to write it down. Another thing I would like to note is that we get to see Billy the Puppet, in a way that we haven't seen him in a little while. I think he popped up before, but they really give us a razzle dazzle with this, where we open a door to Billy the Puppet, in a room full of candles, which is very funny.
It is very funny. It's like romantic.
Yes. I feel like for this movie, we needed like a previously on Saw, because it references the third movie so heavily. Yeah. And so basically, one of the big twists in this movie is that we find out that it is running at exactly the same time as the third movie.
Yes.
And you find that out because you end up in the third movie, like the detective that we're following, Detective Riggs, busts in on Jeff, who was the dude we were talking about. What
wrong
happens?
Name. Detective Strom.
Oh, okay.
Busts into the room
yes.
with Jeff.
Yes.
The new hero of the franchise is Detective Strom.
Right. So we find out that the guy who's next to Donnie Wahlberg, who's going to be electrocuted, is actually in cahoots with Jigsaw. So he's like the new Jigsaw dude.
Yes.
That's basically what you need to know.
Now that Jigsaw's dead, Hoffman is the new Jigsaw, and
right.
Strom is a fellow cop trying to catch the new Jigsaw.
Right. And he doesn't know that Hoffman is the new Jigsaw.
Now, you're right. This is where you need a previously on, because now these movies are not so much movies. Now they're episodes.
Completely. That's absolutely how I felt. It seemed like 3 and 4 were one episode of TV and another episode. It was super confusing.
And that, to me, is how basically they all feel from here. The continuity is so tight. My understanding is that like the production teams on these movies would literally just go like, okay, opening weekend did well. Lionsgate wants another one. We'll just keep working. And they knew, I think that that team worked so closely. They had such an intimate awareness of what they'd already done and how they can fold things together. I really want to, quite frankly, applaud how tightly constructed everything is. Even if it's convoluted, they clearly knew that they wanted to make references to the past and held on to the sets as much as possible. I think
they came out yearly at that point. So I think that they might have given, like, you know, a common complaint is not giving an audience enough credit and spelling things out too much. I think they might have given the audience a little bit too much credit, or at least me. Because
it's very complicated.
It's hard to keep up with.
It's very, very complicated. Mm-hmm. But I also do think that the idea of Saw 4 taking place during Saw 3 is kind of interesting.
Yeah, I do too.
Jigsaw's dead during, you think, going into Saw 4, but he's not dead yet. He dies at the end of Saw 4 because he dies at the end of Saw 3.
Because they were happening at the same time.
They're happening at the same
time. Yeah, it's pretty cool and unique.
I think that that's kind of an interesting idea. Also, Saw 4, I want to say, I think it was the last movie until Spiral that Darren Lynn Bousman directed. Mm-hmm. And he had really interesting transitions between scenes. They do a flashback to Jigsaw where he's talking to somebody, and then he turns and looks out a window.
Yeah.
And the window he looks out of becomes the reverse mirror into an interrogation room.
Mm-hmm.
And it almost makes it feel like the ghost of Jigsaw is somehow looking into this room for just a moment. Like, it's visually interesting.
Yeah.
But yes, convoluted. But we do have our new hero, Strom, and our new bad guy, Hoffman.
That's right. Before we move on, we're at the midway point now.
Yeah.
So I just want to mention that if you are enjoying the show and you want to support us and you want a little bit more, then go to patreon.com/GDTUpod, where if you donate $4 or more per month, then you get a bonus episode of the show every month. It comes on the 13th of the month. Plus, there's a Discord with other people who enjoy the show who are talking every single day about really cool stuff. And we also do a live stream every month where we plan out our next month of shows. So at this point, there are 21 bonus episodes that you may not have heard before that you will get instantly if you join at patreon.com/GTTUplot.
GTTUplot.
GTTUplot. Plus, there are commentaries for all of the Scream movies. There are video game playthroughs. There's all kinds of stuff, and it's all organized. When you go to the page, you can click on these tabs that are at the top and see everything we've got. We post screenshots of our notes every single week before the show comes out. It's very cool, and it really helps us out, and we really appreciate it. So please go to patreon.com/GTTUpod if you like the show and you want to give back and get back in
especially
return.
Right now, if you want more Saw. Mm-hmm. We're having more Saw this weekend on the Netherworld Dispatch for sure.
Yeah.
Okay, so Saw 5. Let's wipe the slate clean, Kristen. Hoffman is the new Jigsaw.
Right.
John Kramer, the original Jigsaw, is dead but still looms large.
Mm-hmm.
Agent Strom wants to catch them. All of the cops who've gone after Jigsaw have died.
Right.
And Hoffman, nobody knows that he's the bad guy yet. He comes out looking, smelling like a bed of roses. He has, for everybody's, everybody thinks he survived a Jigsaw trap, that he was part of the team that found the dead Jigsaw and that these killings are over now. We're finally during a period of time where everyone knows Jigsaw is dead.
Mm-hmm.
So these killings can't possibly continue.
Finally, a time of peace.
Hoffman is given an award because after Danny Glover died, after Detective Matthews died, everybody's dead but him. He's given an award for helping close the Jigsaw killings. And he walks into his office after receiving the reward to find a note from a mysterious someone that reads, "I know who you are."
Mm-hmm.
So somebody knows his dark secret. And here is the Hoffman dark backstory. Basically, this movie is a cat and mouse. How is Strom going to catch this guy? Because he believes that there's still somebody who's doing Jigsaw's work. He's right. And how is Hoffman going to evade capture? And for our money, who is Hoffman and how to get involved in this stuff?
This guy's deal.
So Saw 5 is a lot of flashback to what Hoffman's doing and how he got involved in Jigsaw. He staged his own trap. He did a copycat scenario of a Jigsaw trap to kill the man that murdered his sister.
Mm-hmm.
Jigsaw, of course, knows I didn't do that trap.
Right.
And so he tracks down Hoffman, and we're treated to flashbacks of Jigsaw sharing his theory on life and death with Detective Hoffman, where he talks about how people can be rehabilitated through this stuff. You as a cop should want to see people, you know, face justice for the horrible things they've done. And yet, you know, most criminals put out on the street end up back in jail again. Mm-hmm. So police officer's brand of justice doesn't cut it. Come work for me, or I'll tell everybody that you killed this guy.
Right.
So it's also sort of a blackmail deal.
Yeah.
But Hoffman's been with him the whole time, it turns out. And we're even treated through intense continuity, which I find very wonderful knowing these things. We revisit previous crime scenes from throughout all the Saw movies up to date. We revisit the events of Saw 1 through 4, now with the knowledge that Hoffman was a bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
And so we see him interact with traps from Saw 1, Saw 2. He helped set up the house in Saw 2, for example. And it's really amazing to see them recreate those environments.
Yeah.
Seeing the house in Saw 2, there was a very distinctive trap door in one of the rooms that eventually leads to the very famous bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
And it at the end of the movie, Strom tracks down Hoffman's house and goes in, and it's that house. They don't underscore it. They don't make it clear.
Yeah.
But Strom walks into Hoffman's office, and there's a trap door in the floor. And he goes down it. Hoffman lives in the poison house from Saw 2.
Yeah.
And they don't make a big show of it. I just love continuity stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. It was a real dump house.
It was absolutely a real dump house. So that's all the drama that's going on. Cat and mouse game.
Mm-hmm.
The trap stuff going on has nothing to do with anything, but it might be some of the best trap concept stuff going on. Five people are traveling through a series of rooms together. In room one, one of them dies. Four people walk into the next room. One of them dies. Three people walk into the next room. One of them dies. They're being whittled down.
Yeah.
It's like, and then there were none.
Mm-hmm.
First there were five, and now there are four, and now there are three. It's set up by Jigsaw being like, you're all very selfish. If you ignore your impulses in this room, maybe you'll survive. And so in the first room...
I would go instantly. I'm a slave to my impulses.
It's true. But so they all start fending for themselves, and it turns out by the end, if they had all worked together,
mm-hmm.
all five could have survived. This is where the Saw games almost become meta. People are aware of the Jigsaw killer and the stuff
right,
that he does,
right.
And they know that people end up dying and dismembered.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll be damned if they're going to be the one who ends up dead.
Right.
But Jigsaw pulled a fast one. Nobody had to.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody had to die. And yet they had convinced themselves through their prior knowledge of what Jigsaw usually does to say, in each room, one of us is probably going down.
Cut down by their own hubris.
Yeah. And also there's a character in this one that, like, there are five keys in the first room. It turns out that one key would unlock all five of their traps. But they don't mm-hmm. know that, so they all selfishly go after their own key. One person dies, and one of the survivors going to the next room picks up that key. And somebody goes, what are you doing? She goes, I'm being smart. She knows these are games, and they're trying to outgame the games.
Right.
So that we finally have characters that know the type of scenarios that we typically see. So we're not watching them have to go like, where am I? What's going on? They wake up and they're like, oh, we're in a Jigsaw trap.
Yeah, like
we know what this kind of stuff usually is. They just get right to it.
Yeah.
And I love the idea that they should have worked together.
Mm-hmm.
It's very fun. And each room has its own reason for why nobody had to die.
Mm-hmm.
Even when it seems ridiculous. It eventually results in a room where there are five blades. And you have to fill up a glass with 10 pints of blood.
Mm-hmm.
That means that five people need to sacrifice 2 pints each, which is still a lot.
Yes.
But now that only two people are alive, they each have to give up 5 pints of blood, which is half the blood in the human body. So they're probably going to die.
Yeah.
And it's because they didn't ignore their horrible instincts to only think of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
There are moments in the movie where in flashback, Jigsaw says to Hoffman at one point, he goes, I need you to set up another trap. The reasons for this trap may not seem clear, but trust me, these people all play a vital role in what I'm doing. And he's lying. This has nothing to do with anything. It's just because Saw movies need to have a bunch of traps for people.
Yeah.
Thankfully, it's very cool.
That is clever.
But it has nothing to do with anything.
I feel like you really have to keep an eye on the wordplay of Jigsaw, because I bet I would interpret you need to work together as I'd be trying to like help people like do whatever it is they're doing individually. I don't think I would think we need to all be a team.
And maybe.
You know what I mean?
You'd be more on the right track than what they were doing.
I would be, but it still would not occur to me that, you know, it would work that way.
I like Saw 5. The way that it ends up, Hoffman, as I said, Hoffman and Strom come to a head. Mm-hmm. Strom has caught Hoffman. And they end up in the sort of catacombs under Hoffman's house, which is implied to be the same catacombs that lead to the bathroom from Saw 1, which, again, mm-hmm. I like. And it ends up in a room with a glass coffin full of glass right. shards. And Hoffman has a tape in there for Strom where he says, "Have you learned to trust me?" I'm sorry,
no!
What? Why would I? And he says, "The only way out of this room is through that coffin. You have to get in that coffin to get out of this room alive." And yet Strom is like, "I haven't gotten in that coffin."
Yeah.
So he sets a trap. Hoffman walks into the room to see if the trap is paid off, and Strom jumps him and throws Hoffman into the coffin. Mm-hmm. Gotcha, Jigsaw. You're in the trap. Except he wasn't lying on the tape. The entire room is a puzzle. The coffin starts to slowly descend into the floor.
It's kind of awesome.
And the walls start to crush in.
And yeah, Strom gets smushed.
Strom gets crushed in the walls while Hoffman's watching him in a glass coffin, and the blood is squirting onto the glass of the coffin. Yeah. And Kaufman's Kaufman. But so Strom's last moments alive are him going, "I caught you. I know. You might think you're getting away with it, but I know." Like, he's almost losing his mind.
Yeah.
At least being like, "I did the thing I set out to do.
Mm-hmm.
No one will ever know that I caught you, but I did catch you."
Yep.
But the walls close and we smash to black. Hoffman got away with it.
Yeah, and Strom has turned into Stromboli.
It's true.
Man.
There's also an implication that Jigsaw Beyond the Grave is somehow going to test Hoffman.
Yes.
Hoffman is yet to be
it
tested.
It keeps coming up that Hoffman, yeah, I think Jigsaw, they're showing flashbacks that he was like, "Your test will come," or whatever.
So flashback heavy, these movies.
So flashback
Particularly heavy. Once Jigsaw's dead, we got to get Tobin Bell in there because he's too good not to have.
Yeah, totally.
Tobin Bell's like the best part of these movies. Can
Without
we agree?
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
Completely. Okay, so in Saw 6, we pick up immediately and at the end of Saw 5, besides the cold open, which I really like a lot. So Hoffman is like bad guy and around, hidden in plain sight, because the only person who knew it was him, Strom, is dead. And the plot of this is very weird. I don't like what's going on here. What could be more fun than crappy insurance monsters getting their just desserts?
I know. Now we're dealing with the guy.
Think about this.
Now we're dealing with the guy that turned down John Kramer for insurance, which once again is Jigsaw personally targeting people for revenge.
Sometimes. Not all the time.
Not all the time.
He doesn't. I feel like he doesn't have a very strict set of rules.
I agree. Jigsaw. And yet he says he does.
I know. He's lying.
He's lying.
I don't know if he's just lying to everyone or if he's lying to himself.
I think he's lying to himself. I don't know that John Kramer knows he's lying. One of the big
unhinged.
Things that I always wanted, I found Saw 3 very disappointing as the end of John Kramer.
Yeah.
I really felt like Jigsaw needed to be tested himself. I wanted an apprentice or somebody to rise up and fight Jigsaw and make John Kramer have to face his own morality
it
play
is funny, the
and
idea
see if he comes out the other side still believing in it.
Yeah.
I wanted to see people have to make big moral decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, like after Saw 2, everything became you have 60 seconds to cut your arms off.
Oh, totally.
Everything is tight.
Yeah.
Because for a movie, it's fun to see something happen fast. But once again, I always loved the, you're sitting in this room together for 6 hours.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun to watch people slowly figure things out and face things.
I mean, the thing is, to me too, but people started to come to these movies as a fun splatter thing. They came out like every Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
They were in 3D, most of them. So
certainly
like
by
having,
this point.
Like, pig parts flying at you or whatever. So it was really more about that.
The big tagline by the point we get to your movie here, Saw 6, is if it's Halloween, it must be Saw.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so there for it. I
loved
seeing these every year, no matter how complicated they got.
Mm-hmm.
And I had no delusions that they were anything other than what they were.
Yeah.
But boy, it was fun. Halloween, a new Saw movie. Let's
go. Yeah, totally. I thought that I hadn't seen all of them, but I had.
Yeah.
So I guess I was always going to. So Hoffman has captured basically an entire insurance office in a trap house. And I find...
Trap house? Isn't it a trap house?
Yeah.
What's a trap house?
It's like a kind of music or something.
Oh, okay.
Like the kids like, I think.
Okay.
I don't know.
Let us know, kids.
But you know, it's like a house full of traps, I guess.
Okay.
And I find Hoffman very... unbelievable as this sort of character. Why is he doing this? He just feels very businesslike to me, as though he has to be doing this. He doesn't seem to have like a murderous passion for it. It's like he's like checking off items.
Well, especially because he was blackmailed into doing it in the first place.
Right, so why is he doing this? It's not like Jigsaw is still alive, like, gonna punish him for not doing it.
You know what it is? You know what I genuinely think it is? And I think we're gonna see this with Spiral. people, you can't trust people to have seen sequels. Mm-hmm. You can trust them to maybe have seen the original or be aware of the reputation of the original movie. And I think that Hoffman carries the baggage of course, Jigsaw tests people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's as far as it goes.
Yeah, but like, why?
I don't know. I do wish that they fleshed him out more, because he starts to become more of a slasher villain in 6 and 7.
He does, but he feels completely flat to me. I don't understand this guy's motivation for doing this at all, and it's very work intensive. Just like, why is this guy doing this? He doesn't seem to give a crap.
No.
And now
he's also a master engineer, just like John Kramer.
Yeah, I know. It just like this like doesn't work for me at all. I don't like it's that it's insurance people who whatever. I just find it annoying. And so what?
This is funny. I just find it annoying.
I do. I'm just like, I don't care. This guy doesn't seem to care that he's killing these people. I don't like watching all this gross stuff.
Yeah.
There's nothing that's like, ooh, fun.
No. You know Saw 5 and 6 have the least identity to me.
Yeah, totally. There are some flashbacks to Jigsaw, and I think it's weird that even though in the flashbacks in Saw 6, it's generally Jigsaw, like, not being super active. He's kind of, like, in a wheelchair and telling both Hoffman and Amanda what to do. But I think it's weird that he's still just, like, wearing a cloak all the time over, like, a dirty Henley while he's sitting in a wheelchair. He's just got a bit of performance to him at all times. I think it's funny.
He's got a cool moment where he's talking to the insurance guy and he gets distracted and he's looking in the fish tank and he goes, "Piranha."
Oh yeah, I know.
He says
piranha.
He comments on the fact that the insurance guy has piranha.
Yeah, we get it.
But he pronounces it as piranha.
Yeah, and also this guy is preying on people. Piranha's
predatory.
Prey. We understand. So, you know,
even the guy's like, "Huh?"
Yeah. So, you know, like the insurance people all die and everything. And what happens to Hoffman? Hang on a second. Let me remember. What happens to this dude? Is Hoffman in Saw 7?
Saw 6 you're doing.
I know, but is he in Saw 7?
Yeah, he is.
Okay, so I guess Hoffman just gets away.
Okay, I can tell you what happens.
What?
So they start to realize that Hoffman had faked a Jigsaw trap.
This is actually cool.
Okay.
Okay, I am starting to remember. Okay. So the cop work in this is, a lot of it is hinging on the fact that they have an audio tape of the new Jigsaw being like, "Hello, blah, blah, blah." And they're like, as soon as we unscramble this, we're going to hear the real person's voice. They think it's Strom, because now Hoffman is framed Strom. And they're like, we'll know it's Strom. And then case closed. And Hoffman is like, yes, of course, case closed. But he knows it's his voice on there. So he goes with the other cops to the voice analysis place. And when they decode it, he like kills everybody in the room.
He immediately snaps. So he's holding a coffee cup. Mm-hmm. He like stabs one guy with a little knife and then splashes the coffee in another person's face. He makes short work of all of them.
He does. He does.
It's like Jason. Hoffman,
he does. You're describing it exactly. He's like, ha, ha, at like the computer tech and just like kills everyone.
He kills everybody. Yeah. It really just becomes, and I almost think that that's kind of interesting. Again, he's not developed or explored, but I do think it's kind of interesting that his skill set, he's not like, Jigsaw was always physically weak and mentally strong, right? Theoretically. Like Hoffman, interestingly, is like, able-bodied and trained as a cop.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting to take that guy and turn him into a slasher villain.
Doesn't he feel like a this guy just feels like a total non-event to me.
He's very flat, is the problem.
Like, even calling him a slasher is, like, too much for him.
I also want to point out that in the movie, when they're unscrambling the audio, it's obviously Tobin Bell, and then the more they unscramble it, becomes Costas Mandalore, the other actor, the Hoffman actor.
I also want to mention to everybody,
that doesn't work, that you can't do that in audio.
No. I also want to mention to everybody, in case you don't know, I know I've talked about it on the show before, Costas Mandalore, who's the guy who plays Hoffman, is in an episode of Sex and the City where he plays a priest that Samantha is trying to sleep with.
Okay, as long as we're doing that, Agent Strom,
yes,
the hero who's now been framed by Hoffman, looks like Jason Lee crossed with Sylvester Stallone. With the acting chops of Nicolas Cage.
I think he also looks like Nicolas Cage a little bit. He also seems to have the spray-painted hair of Nicolas Cage.
Okay. And he comes from Gilmore Girls, where he ran a little cafe, and he mostly wore backward baseball caps, which to me always just make it feel like you're dressing somebody like a little boy.
Yeah, I know.
And yet he's a very big, bulky man.
I think he's that bulky.
And I'm endlessly distracted by Strom and Hoffman.
Did Allie watch Gilmore Girls? Is that how you know that?
I sure hope she doesn't.
How do you know that, then?
I don't know.
Because same, I know that, but I've actually never seen 5 minutes of Gilmore Girls.
I'm not sure why.
I'm just surprised that you do.
I don't know why I know that.
Okay, that's fine.
I'm not sure why I know that.
That's fine.
But I do know that about
yeah,
him.
Yeah, yeah. No, and it's true.
He played a little boy on Gilmore Girls.
Yeah, no,
and now he's just, Special Agent Strom.
That's like a genre that I might dabble in a little bit more. I'm just surprised to hear that you've
listen,
have that reference.
There are lots of things that I know, and I don't know why I know them. I know this about him.
Yeah. All right, so I think that brings us to Saw 7.
Yeah, Hoffman's been... People basically know that Hoffman's a bad boy. Yeah. The other thing that you should mention, I think, is that the way that the big twist at the end of Saw 6 is that Jigsaw's wife,
widow,
has been roped into the games.
That's right.
And she has put the reverse bear trap...
That's right, on Hoffman, and Hoffman rips it off, and so you don't see him die.
He manages to escape the reverse bear trap, and it rips his face open.
It's disgusting.
And it ends with him on his knees screaming, and he finally looks really interesting to me. And then it ends.
I don't know why. I'd rather watch him as the priest in Sex and the City all day long than watch this.
Fair enough. Well, here we go. Saw 7, also called Saw 3D.
Yeah, I know.
Also called Saw the Final Chapter.
Oh, I actually didn't know about Saw the Final Chapter.
It depends on where you get this movie. Mm-hmm. It has different names. Mm-hmm. This was the original Final Saw movie. And it had, honestly, the most character to me right from the jump. Did you watch any of this?
Not this time, I didn't.
I will say the first 10 minutes of this movie I found to be very different and energizing.
Okay.
Finally, something is happening outside during the day in a Saw movie. It implies that like everything is taking on a new tone here. The games have changed.
Mm-hmm.
Two people are staged in a show front window in the middle of a busy shopping district of this anonymous city.
Yeah.
And when the curtains drop, people mill around like something exciting is going to happen. But it's a giant, gory jigsaw trap. And so all these people are reacting and trying to get them out. And Kristen, I got to tell you, like, the film quality looks better. The production value appears to be higher to me. Mm-hmm. I don't know why this trap is happening. And it happens in a vacuum. It doesn't have much payoff for the rest of the movie.
Yeah.
The rest of the movie takes a big step off a cliff to me right after this. But the movie opens big and in a different environment with color.
Yeah, that's right.
It's no longer all industrial environments. And I was really excited.
Mm-hmm.
Really excited. We flash back now to Saw 1. What happened to Dr. Lawrence Gordon after he chopped his foot off and left that bathroom with Adam screaming?
Mm-hmm.
We're finally shown what happens.
I know. That is awesome.
For years,
I do love that.
For years, people were like, oh, Cary Elwes is probably involved in stuff that's going on. But there was all this meta knowledge of him having contract disputes and he would never be involved again. Cary Elwes came back in Saw 3D. And we see that Dr. Lawrence Gordon, after he escaped, he cauterized his own wound against the steam pipe, and then something unknown happened to him. For the bulk of the movie now, the two primary plots are as follows. We are following Hoffman once again as he has escaped the reverse bear trap put on his head by Jigsaw's wife, and he exclusively in this movie wants to get revenge on her.
Mm-hmm.
That's all he's doing. The other big thing that's happening in this movie is we're following somebody who has escaped a jigsaw trap in the past and has turned it into a cottage industry. His name is Bobby Dakin, and he has written books about how he was in a trap. He had these hooks jabbed through his pectoral muscles, and he had to climb a chain that was suspending him from his pecs. And he was like, it's amazing that my body was able to do that. The pecs can hold up the entire weight of your body, and I got through it. And the world is brighter afterwards, and I'm not going to be defined by what happened to me, but I want to be a better person. And so he's appearing on talk shows. He's got a team around him that are talking to him about how to sell the book, bring your wife out for the big smooch on TV, all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they have him make an appearance at a support group for Jigsaw survivors, where we see a bunch of people we've never seen before, and some people who have actually escaped some of the jigsaw traps in the past few movies.
Yeah.
And he gives a big impassioned speech about how we can be better. He opens his shirt and shows his scars on his pecs, and then we get the slow clap.
Mm-hmm.
Because Dr. Lawrence Gordon is sitting in the shadows over there, and he steps forward and goes, bravo, well done with your big speech. Thanks for including us in your publicity tour. And he couldn't be more villainous.
Yeah.
He couldn't. They may as well just put a giant arrow on the screen and go, Lawrence Gordon's
bad guy.
And he's a bad guy. But we move on.
Uh-huh.
We follow Bobby Dagan as now he's put in a jigsaw trap because Jigsaw knows you lied. You were never in a trap.
Right.
you saw a way to capitalize on what I was doing. Now you will be tested.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's put through the same. You referred to it as Ebenezer Scrooging.
Yep.
Going person by person and learning a lesson with each one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And they all die.
Yeah.
He tries to save them. They all die. In this one, it's like, here's your publicist. I'm going to if the noise gets above a certain decibel level, pipes will poke into her throat and kill her because she does evil with her voice. There's this whole, like, see no evil, speak no evil, hear no evil thing going on. Also, as I mentioned, one of the titles for this movie is Saw 3D. So occasionally something just flies at the camera. traps happen in a vacuum. Chester Bennington of not Slipknot.
Linkin Park
plays a skinhead in a car.
Okay.
Trap. Okay. There's a new cop guy from, like, IA or something, because there always has to be a cop storyline in these movies.
Mm-hmm.
He's tracking down Hoffman, and it involves going to where Chester Bennington was, but also they know that the Bobby Dagan stuff, survival stuff, is going on. It's very messy. Once again, what Hoffman's doing, what the villain of the movie is doing, is exclusively trying to find Jigsaw's wife.
Right.
She is in police protection. She's asked for immunity in turn for turning Hoffman in.
Mm-hmm.
So what Hoffman has done is he has rigged up a robot machine gun, like Breaking Bad, to kill all the cops.
Oh my God.
And he has taken the place of one of the dead bodies so that he will be brought in a body bag to the police station where Jigsaw's wife is. And, I should mention this before
I get
to the
end. Buying any of this from this dude.
That's correct.
I feel like the lights aren't on, you know?
I don't disagree. I should also mention that there is a dream sequence in this movie. All of a sudden, Jigsaw's wife, goes, like, her eyes snap open, and she's tied up in a skimpy outfit, which is exploitative in a way that Saw movies usually are not.
Mm-hmm.
And Hoffman is standing with a weird go-kart thing with a blade on the front, pointed at her on a track, and he goes, "You know the only problem with killing you, Jill? I can only do it once." And he pulls a lever that makes this go-kart fly into her body and blast it up, and she wakes up in bed.
Uh-huh.
He can kill her more than once. Jill has two death scenes in this movie.
Okay.
Even though in the dream sequence he says, "The problem is I can only kill you once." They don't usually do that. You know what I mean? They don't usually just have a dream sequence trap.
It's very weird.
You gotta just get these things in, I guess.
Yeah.
Anyway, Hoffman tracks down Jill, and he puts the reverse bear trap on her. And for the first time ever in the franchise, honestly, I hadn't even realized it, we see what the reverse bear trap does.
Yeah.
It's the only time in all seven movies that you see what happens to somebody when that thing goes off.
Yeah.
It rips her face open.
But it ain't pretty.
It ain't pretty. Bobby Dagan, meanwhile, in his story, his final thing to do is his wife's chained up, and in order to survive her, Jigsaw goes, "You're going to have to do what you said you did. Put the hooks through your pecs and climb up the thing. As you said, it should support your body." Spoiler alert, it doesn't work.
It doesn't.
It doesn't. But that means that Jigsaw's just killing him.
Why did he have those scars?
I guess he gave them to himself.
Okay.
Anyway, he fails his trap, and his wife is chained to this thing. And once he fails the trap and the timer is up, all these metal pieces start to assemble themselves around her. Like they almost like accordion up and builds this like thing entombing her.
Uh-huh.
And I swear to God, in theaters, it looked like a rocket ship. And I thought the movie was going to end with her blasting off into outer space. It turns out it's a big oven and the fire turns on and he kills her.
Okay.
Okay. Anyway.
This guy's unlimited money.
Time for the ending.
Yeah.
Hoffman got his revenge. Jigsaw's work is done. He's killed Jigsaw's wife. Twist time.
Uh-huh.
Dr. Lawrence Gordon, who we knew was the villain.
Right.
Because we could smell it.
Right.
It turns out he was the villain. Jigsaw has had him in cahoots ever since Saw 1.
Uh-huh.
We're treated to flashbacks, literally going movie by movie about how Lawrence Gordon was involved the whole time.
How do you explain that?
Which, for continuity purposes, I found very amusing.
How do you explain that he never bumped into, like, Hoffman during
Jigsaw
this?
Jigsaw at one point goes, "You'll be my super special boy. You know why? You're gifted with anonymity." So he kept him secret from everybody else.
Okay.
But they literally show moments from each movie and what Lawrence Gordon had done.
I mean, that sounds
which is
fun.
So much fun to see. It's
yeah,
goofy.
I love revisiting previous like sets and things like that from movies.
So basically, Dr. Lawrence Gordon jumps Hoffman, chains him up in the original bathroom. I love to see it again.
You love to see it.
And then Hoffman's chained up and tries to go for one of the saws, and Lawrence Gordon slips it away, picks it up, and goes, "Oh, I don't think so." And then turns.
I remember his voice being very insane in this movie. Am I remembering that correctly?
He's speaking in a way that implies that he will be the new Jigsaw.
Uh-huh.
Because even his tapes would be scary. You know what I mean? Like, he keeps talking like this. Lots of gravel and grit. And, like, if you can imagine him just being like, you should have valued your life.
Yeah, right.
With his weird English-American accent.
I know. That's more what I mean. I mean, I'm sure he's very gravelly, but I remember vaguely thinking that his accent was all over the place in Saw 7.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so he goes, oh, I don't think so.
I didn't think so. Because
the saw turns and throws it at the camera. So the saw just goes at us.
Doing.
And it's all weird and CG, like the physics of it don't look right.
Right.
And then I guess he says game over and closes the
he must.
The bathroom.
Certainly he must.
Shuts the bathroom door. Yeah. And Hoffman goes, occupado.
Occupado. Someone's in here.
And it ends.
Yeah.
And that's the way it was supposed to be over.
Right.
Forever.
Right.
And I enjoyed it for what it was. I think the opening of it shows so much more promise for the franchise.
Mm-hmm.
And this began a very long series of years where I would go, Jigsaw, how do you do this again?
Mm-hmm.
How do you do this again?
Yeah, I definitely remember what I was talking
about.
He's
got puppets. He does like ventriloquism-y stuff.
Yeah.
He's got escape room stuff. He also dresses like a pig sometimes. He takes a jigsaw.
Yeah, pig with hair.
He like cuts a jigsaw out of his victim's skin. He's got a million MO things.
Yeah.
How do you streamline this and do this again? And they just did it again.
They did it again. Okay. In the movie Jigsaw, which came out in 2017, Blaine and I went to see this movie in theaters together this time.
Yep. And I distinctly remember as the movie was starting thinking, what am I in for?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, it
me
was like
too.
Being at the beginning of a roller coaster and being like, oh, I'm actually afraid to be here.
Me too, because I hadn't seen, so I'm cheating a little bit because you and I did a Facebook Live from either your or my car right after we saw this movie. And I watched the Facebook Live that we did.
Really?
Yes.
That's still out there.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. If you go to our facebook.com/GTTUpod, hit the videos tab and then scroll way back.
Were we doing Guide to the Unknown when this movie came out?
Yeah.
Whoa.
So maybe it's 2018.
I don't know.
No, I think it was 2017. But, yeah, you can go back and find it. It'll be me and Will sitting in a car in either 2017 or 2018. And we both say that, like I said, when I'm saying it again now, when we watched this, I hadn't seen like a torture porny movie in a long time. Yeah. And I was like, oh God, like, what am I doing?
I was nervous.
Like, what am I going to be looking at here? And, it was like that. We both did not like it at all. And, yeah, it stinks, but after watching these other Saw movies, like in rapid succession, I think I feel it stinks less than I did when we watched it because now I have the benefit of comparison.
I do
like,
too.
Like directly.
This movie comes out smelling a lot better in a marathon.
Yes. Because you just watched all these other things that stinky poo-poo.
Poo-poo. Sticky poo-poo.
But if you haven't seen them in a long time and then you just watch Jigsaw, you're like, what the hell is this? But all the movies are kind of like that. So basically in this movie, Jigsaw-esque killings are happening again for the first time in a long time.
In a decade.
But we thought he was dead, isn't he? Could he be alive or is it a copycat? Like, what's going on? So in this movie, there's a crooked cop who I think looks like Ernest. I said that in the live thing and I stand by it. You didn't agree with me. Do you think this guy looks like Ernest today?
I can see what you mean. I can see what you mean.
Okay. You didn't agree with me at all in the past, but I'm glad that you've come around. This guy looks like Ernest. He looks like hot Ernest.
I don't think
he's hot, but he's like hotter than Ernest, you know?
It doesn't take much. He doesn't look like Ernest, but I can see how you think he looks like the guy who played Ernest.
Well, yeah. He specifically looks like Jim Varney.
Jim Varney, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So he's like a crooked cop. There's a good cop. There are two medical examiners who are following a lot, and one of the medical examiners is like a Jigsaw fangirl who has like a warehouse full of traps that she's like a hobbyist that she like builds and stuff for fun. We end up seeing Jigsaw in this movie. Like, holy crap, I guess he is alive because there is a group of people again who are all together in like a farmhouse who are being tested and going through all this stuff. There's, you know, somebody has a bucket on their head. No, a bunch of them have buckets on their heads. And they're all being pulled toward a wall to get decapitated and, you know, all kinds of jigsaw sorts of stuff.
Lots
a guy
of saw
has
stuff
to
happens.
To cut his leg off if he wants to save two people, is he willing to do that? It turns out he was. You know, things like this. So, not unlike in Saw 4, it turns out that the events that were happening in this farmhouse that we thought were current day were in the past. We are seeing Jigsaw doing these things because he was alive when they happened, but they're not happening at the same time as these new Jigsaw killings. Jigsaw really is dead.
Yeah.
However, one of the medical examiners, not the freaky fangirl one, turns out to have been Jigsaw's apprentice this entire time. Jigsaw has had secret apprentices who he has kept secret from each other, like some sort of F-boy, which with a bunch of side pieces who he doesn't let intersect this entire time. In fact, this apprentice, Jigsaw says, actually, I've learned from you.
He did.
Yeah.
He did. He said that he learned like, how to forgive
like compassion or something.
Weirdly, it turns out that somebody who we thought died didn't die. It's this guy in the flashback trap. He would have died, except at the last second, Jigsaw ran out and saved him.
Pops up and saved him.
That's not what Jigsaw does.
No, he was like, never mind. It was an honest mistake. Because he had taken this guy because he was a doctor who had misread his x-rays. And so Jigsaw was pissed, put him in a trap, and then thought better of it.
Yeah. See, this is again where it's like, you would think that Jigsaw almost learned a lesson right there of like, oh, wait, I picked somebody for revenge and I should not have, or something. Except that he constantly picks people who've done him wrong to put in traps. But again, as Hannibal Lecter taught us, we covet what we see. You can't put somebody in a trap if you don't know who they are. So, of course, he's picking people he knows, and of course, he's picking people who've wronged him because people who've wronged him have something to learn. But it feels a whole lot like revenge to me.
It absolutely does. And then he pulls back at the last minute, and then this guy becomes his best friend. Mm-hmm. He seems to be, like, the king of the apprentices, because he has taught Jigsaw something as well.
The boy who would be king.
Correct. And so now Jigsaw is indeed dead, but he has decided to, you know, have a little fun on, like, the 10th anniversary or whatever. So, how does it end exactly? I mean, he kills everybody. You know, he doesn't say game over.
No, he says, I speak for the dead, and closes the door.
Yeah, and he walks away.
Yeah. It ends with,
I buy him more than Hoffman, I will say. I think this guy's got a little bit more going on behind the eyes than Hoffman does.
I agree with you on intelligence only. In terms of charisma, and we're struggling. I like looking at Hoffman more than I like looking at Jacob? Edgar? Logan. His name
John.
Is Logan. His name is Logan.
Okay, yeah.
And also there are lasers in this movie.
Yes, there are lasers in this movie.
He uses lasers.
He uses lasers to turn somebody's head into like an orange with a bunch of different segments.
Yeah, and it all falls apart like a flower, like the Demogorgon from Stranger Things.
Uh-huh.
What it really looks like, though, is it looks like the lasers cut into this man's head and turn him into a cartoon.
Yeah,
because
once his
head starts to fall open, it's rough looking.
Doesn't look great.
Doesn't look very good. I'll say this. I watched this movie as well, obviously. Mm-hmm. It also opens with like stuff happening outside during the day. And that's a low bar to have.
Yes, I do like that. Yeah.
It's a low bar to have, but it's a good energy to Saw movies to have different environments that we don't usually see. Usually Saw movies are all industrial.
Yeah.
Dank, dirty, filled with steam and iron.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting to see, like, there's a woman. We're introduced to the idea that, like, every time somebody dies in this trap in the farmhouse, Jigsaw seems to be parading their body out in the world.
Right.
So a buckethead person dies in that first room, and then we're shown how the body's being displayed by, there's a woman jogging in the park.
Yeah,
and then she realizes,
awesome.
As she's jogging, everybody's looking at something behind her and above, up in the sky.
Mm-hmm.
So she turns to look at what everybody's staring at, and it's a buckethead guy hung from a bridge.
Yeah.
Whoa!
No, that is awesome.
Visually interesting and big spectacle.
And so scary.
So scary. And honestly, Jigsaw, the movie, functions almost like a best of. There are little bits and pieces of all the Saw movies happening in there. Even some of the traps are almost repeats of stuff that we've seen in other movies. Although the chronology is weird because this Jigsaw supposedly shows that this is one of the first traps Jigsaw ever did.
Right.
Even before the bathroom.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So it tries to give it itself like importance that way. This is the earliest John Kramer stuff.
Yeah.
The earliest Jigsaw stuff. And it's a, it, I you know what? I applaud the attempt. Mm-hmm. But it comes off feeling as kind of, oh yeah, that was another Saw movie. Mm-hmm. But once again, the big problem, and we're going to see what Spiral does, Jigsaw's dead.
Right.
How can you create somebody more fun to watch than Tobin Bell?
I know, he's great.
Chewing the scenery and relishing being evil.
I know. And seriously, wearing a cloak at all times with otherwise casual clothing underneath it.
The challenge is, because I think that Saw is built on the fun of traps, but plainly we're seeing that only gets you so far. Mm-hmm. How can we create a new villain that we can't wait to see what they do next?
I'm very curious.
Very curious.
I have no idea what this is going to be like at all. I'm not going to read anything going into it. I'm just going to, well, as much as I cannot.
Because we're not seeing it until Sunday, I'm very worried about spoilers for myself. I do think I'm going to get spoiled before I go in.
I think I'll be okay.
Incidentally, I follow so many nerd blogs, and they love to post a spoiler in the headline. They love it.
A lot of not specifically just nerd blogs, but a lot of like horror blogs and things like that. I don't think they're very spoilery.
I see a lot of stuff where it'll just be like, how did Gary get involved in this movie? And you're like, oh great, now I know that
I know Gary's here.
Now I know that Gary Larson is in Spiral.
Yeah, right.
Excellent.
Is Gary Larson the guy who does the Far Side?
That's correct. Love the Far Side.
I know.
Yeah, I do enjoy the Saw movies. Mm-hmm. I have an appreciation on some level for all of them. I am a completionist, mm-hmm. so part of my nature just means I have to enjoy certain bits and pieces of all of them. Mm-hmm. I would say even after marathoning the eight eight movies that presently exist ahead of Spiral, theoretically being a reinvention and a retooling and a new start, mm-hmm. that I still liked it.
Yeah, I liked it. I didn't like it as much as I thought I was going to.
Yeah.
I think that I was really watching and looking forward to talking to you about what I was seeing.
Yeah.
So I kind of think I like talking and thinking about Saw more than I like watching Saw.
That's very interesting.
I was doing a couple 10 seconds ahead.
Really?
On just like disgusting scenes.
See, to me, that's almost like I couldn't possibly do that.
I know, but I can.
Yeah.
And I did.
Yeah.
Because I'm just going to close my eyes anyway, so why waste my time?
Yeah, I like the craftsmanship of these movies a lot. I really like seeing like how the team managed to fold everything together. Even if it's straining credibility, mm-hmm. it's fun to be like, oh, this guy was there the whole time.
Yeah.
When they really bend over backwards to make Lawrence Gordon have been doing something during Saw 6. It's crazy.
He was there the whole time. Hoffman was there the whole time, and Logan was there the whole time.
Can you believe it? They were all there the whole time, and they didn't know about it.
It is so ridiculous.
Hoffman. So Jigsaw had Amanda, Hoffman.
Oh, yeah, Amanda too, right.
Right. Amanda, Hoffman, Logan, Dr. Gordon, and each one of them was the most important one.
Give me a break.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
Like each one of them was the special one.
Give me the saw. You're pulling my leg and I want to saw it off.
Okay. Well, I guess that's it for us. I really do anticipate Spiral being all you need to know.
No idea.
We went through all of this. It's been an hour and a half of talking about all the Saw movies. Yeah. We went through all of this, and I bet all you need to know is Jigsaw was a guy who put you in traps.
I absolutely think you're right about that.
You can't afford to make a movie.
It's fun to know this stuff, but I completely think you don't have to know it.
No, they want a new, fresh start, mm-hmm. and they can't make a new movie and assume that you know all the intricacies that we just laid out. And there are so many more.
Yeah.
So many more. I mean, you could do...
we barely talked about Jill Tuck.
You're right. That's the Tuck family pig farm in Jigsaw, by the way. Did you catch that?
Oh, I did.
Yeah. It's the Tuck farm. Anyway, go get some Tucks.
Yeah.
thank you so much, everybody, for listening.
Yes.
I want to say this as well. I'm sorry. I asked people at Hunt a Killer in a big meeting where there were a bunch of us around. I went, hey, I'm seeing the new Saw movie this weekend.
Is everybody excited to see Saw?
And many of them didn't know it existed.
Okay.
So I'm a little concerned. I also want to say that I did see at least one review that gave it a 3 out of 10, which is Chris Rock and Samuel L. Jackson are in a Saw movie.
Yeah, I know.
Is one of them the new Jigsaw?
I don't know. I seriously don't know. I don't think it's Chris Rock.
Is Samuel L. Jackson the new Jigsaw?
I don't know. I don't really think so. Only just because in a meta way, Like, I don't think he wants to do that.
Is he signing up for all that?
I don't think so.
He's like one of the highest paid actors.
I know. I just don't think so. I don't think that they are. Like, I think it's really cool that Chris Rock, like, revitalized this. He's producing it. Uh-huh. Like, this is like...
It comes from an idea he had.
Yes. It's like a Chris Rock project. Yes. It's not like they were making this movie and he got hired to be in it. He, like, spearheaded this coming out, which I think is very cool.
Yes. Directed by Darren Lynn Bousman, who directed the most visually interesting Saw entries, 2, 3, 4. Written by the duo of writers that wrote Jigsaw, which I don't think the problem with that story is the script. I think the problem with the story is the concept of the story. I don't know where that came from.
Yeah.
But the script itself, I think, is okay.
I guess just if you're just talking about straight up dialogue, I don't remember thinking about the dialogue being ridiculous, but the story is really weird.
The Jigsaw fangirl goes to a website called Jigsaw Rules. Oh, yeah. So it's a play on the rules of Jigsaw games and also the notion
that he rules.
That Jigsaw flat out rules.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Make of that what you will.
I don't know. But I my gut is saying that neither of them is the new Jigsaw. I don't think so.
Yeah, I think Sam Jackson might be more of a Drew Barrymore.
I do too.
Kind of fake outy sort of stunt casting. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I do too. I think Chris Rock is the genuine hero
of
it.
I'm excited to see it.
I'm really looking forward to it.
We'll find a way to share our thoughts, I'm sure.
The only thing, and now at least because I, you know, watched the first 8 or whatever, like I'm a little bit desensitized, but I didn't watch it yet. I saw that you can watch the opening torture scene. Did you see that? Did you watch it?
I watched it.
Just the screenshot of it. I was like, ugh.
I'll also say this.
Gross.
I heard ahead of time, and I almost want to track down who said this where, that they're de-emphasizing gore and moving more into...
Yeah, I heard that too, but then... So I guess I have seen some stuff about it. I'm seeing a lot of people on Twitter talking about how gnarly and gory it is.
Yeah. The first 3 minutes that they posted today...
Uh-huh.
Don't scream, they de-emphasized gore to me.
Yeah, that's the thing, because I had heard that, and I was like, okay, sweet. But then I saw a screenshot of like a guy with his tongue between his lips. So I guess his tongue probably gets pulled out and cut out or something.
Yeah.
And I follow people who worked on Spiral. And so they're like retweeting people, and it's all like, don't worry, the disgustingness you love is back. And I'm like, ah, crap.
They saved all that talk for the like week ahead of the movie coming out. For years they've been saying, we're reimagining it to be a thriller.
I know. I know. And I love
maybe
a thriller.
Maybe it also is. Maybe somehow they ride that line. I don't know.
I don't know. I'm not sure. But I'm looking forward to seeing it.
Very curious. Well,
everybody. Are you at all personally concerned? Because we both kind of sold our spouses on it as being like, yeah, it's more of a thriller. Did that occur to you?
It was the first thing I thought
Me
of.
Too. When I saw that screenshot of the guy's tongue, I was like, oh, God. And they said it was the opening scene. I was like, Ryan is... and Allie are not going to be thrilled.
I genuinely think Allie might be angry at the end of this movie.
Uh-huh. I think Ryan's just not going to be happy. Well, I think he's going to want to go walk around the mall or something.
Yeah. Well, I guess we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
You know what's funny? This is we've gone so long, and also for the last 20 minutes, each one of us has tried to end the episode a couple of times.
A lot to say.
There's so much to say. All right, everybody. If you haven't had enough, patreon.com/gttupod. Mm-hmm. There's still more to talk about because there are 2 video games and parody stuff. Maybe that'll be fun. That'll be a fun sort of like palate cleanse of like absurdity.
I think so.
So go check that out. Absurdity. Starting at the Netherworld Warrior level, that starts at $4 or more a month. You can make that 4 into whatever number you want. I don't think you can make it a 1. I'm not sure. I genuinely don't know.
I mean, it starts at 4.
Starts at 4?
You can become a $1 patron donor if you want. You just don't get any bonus stuff.
That's true.
But just thank you very much.
If you enjoy the show, please back it. Please consider reviewing us on Apple Podcasts, Podchaser. Yeah. Share the show. We're on Spotify. We're on YouTube.com/TalkBomb. Get the show, find the show, share the show.
Yeah.
I don't know. Let us know what you think of the Saw movies. Mm-hmm. I'm curious about Spiral. I can't wait to see it and maybe find a way to share our thoughts about it with all of you.
Yeah, I'm sure we will.
All right, everybody. Well, until next time. At gttupod.com if you need anything from the show and us individually.
Yep, I'm at Chillin' Kristen.
I'm at The Myth Traveler. So we will see you next time in a world where we have seen Spiral.
Yeah.
But until that time comes, we must travel.
Back to the Netherworld, go we. Spiral on out of here.
I want to really like it. I want it to be really good. And I want it to be like a new... I want it to be a healthy franchise again. I want it to...
Yeah.
I don't... Well, honestly, I'd be happy to see a new one every year. I don't care.